Hello, world. This is the CS50 Fair at Yale University. My name is David Malin.
And my name is Patrick Rabaschini. Welcome to beautiful commons in New Haven.
Just moments away are over 100 CS50 students' final projects, some hellos from our friends in industry, some CS50 popcorn and cotton candy.
Just feel the energy. We can't wait.
This is CS50.
Hi, my name is Sean. We're here live at the CS50 Fair at Yale 2016. We'll begin looking at today some students' projects for the next couple hours, looking at what they've done and accomplished this year. So we're here today with Itai and Nishida. They're two freshmen at Yale. So what are you guys? What is your guys' project? What were you looking at here?
Well, it's called Yale Art Mart, and the idea is that it's a marketplace for people to buy and sell artwork and to connect with other artists online.
Cool.
So I can show you a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah. So we have a login feature
so
here.
So this is a login page. I'm just going to log into an account that I just made.
Sure.
Oh,
forgot your password.
I forgot it.
I like that. That's an interesting illustration you have there.
Oh, yeah. So all of the artwork that you'll see is mine.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. Okay, so here we logged in and we got redirected automatically to the feed.
Right.
And you can see all of the artworks that have been uploaded recently by various accounts. And if we go to the profile, you'll see here this is the profile that I made.
Awesome.
I have a profile picture and the artworks that you've uploaded that you've put for sale. And then you see these two tabs, start and bot.
Right.
So if you go back to the feed, say you see an artwork that you want to save and be able to see later, you click it, you star it, and it'll show up in your starred.
Oh, that's really cool. So is this accessible to anyone and can come on here and share their artwork and that sort of thing?
In theory, yes. Right now it's running on the CS50 IDE,
right,
but
okay.
It could definitely be expanded for sure.
That's really cool.
Also, on our feed, we have there's a category. So if you'd like to parse through some images, let's say you like paintings.
Right.
You can see only the paintings of your choice. So whatever category of your choice, you can find artwork that suits that to that category. Also, there's a discussion board where you can talk to anyone using in art who has an account in Art Mart.
That's
so
super cool.
You can put your name and comment, and everyone will be able to see it.
Cool.
It's Art Mart.
Yeah. So, what was your guys' inspiration for this kind
of
thing? Because you said this was all your artwork, right? That
yeah.
you've been doing.
So I'm an artist, and we kind of just wanted to bring an interface sort of similar to something you might see on Instagram,
right?
And apply it to specifically art.
That's really cool.
Just as a tool that I felt would be nice for artists to have.
Interesting. So when you were going through this, what were kind of the biggest challenges you had with implementing your website here?
I would say getting the images to be able to upload and then to display both those two things. First
right.
uploading, then displaying were a big issue. It took a lot of work. In the end, we managed to get it to work just through Python, and then we managed to display images through an interface that's actually provided by Imgur.
Interesting.
So
you guys were working with a lot of different sort of APIs and things like that with this project as well, then?
Yeah, exactly. So here you see, but in the end it works. You upload, and it can take a second if it's a slightly larger file.
Right.
And then it tells you upload is successful, and you
and
go
then
to
it
your
will
profile,
show up on your...
and there it is.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And so people can also... So, I guess on some sense it's just an art sharing platform, but you also designed it so that, people could sort of offer up art for buying and selling.
Yeah,
as well.
It is at its most basic, it is a marketplace.
Yeah,
you know?
That's really cool.
We both wanted to make, we both had similar ideas. I wanted to make a website where you can buy and sell things, and he's an artist. He was like, why don't we make it specifically geared toward artists? And we thought, this would be more personal.
Really? That's
and,
really cool.
Yeah, and another challenge that we also had was in the feed, categorizing.
Okay.
So we used three databases to do that, but it was a challenge, but at the end we were able to do this.
So do you have a database that kind of stores information about each piece of art, tags and that sort of
thing? Yeah, we have a database to store users' information, another geared just for the artwork, so artwork ID and everything about the artwork that we needed to make this website.
Right.
And, yeah.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
So are you an art major? Is that kind of where your interest is?
Yeah, perspective art major, possibly computing in the arts.
Okay,
which would combine
cool.
these two things right. Into one.
You were thinking more maybe on the business side of things, right?
Yeah, I'm a perspective computer science and economics major.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So you got that money mindedness. I like that. Okay,
thank
cool.
You.
Well, thank you guys so much for showing us your project.
You.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Thank you.
And it's really impressive that you could bring all these kind of different frameworks and things together to make such a great product.
Hello! And we are here at the CS50 Fair at Yale. Thanks so much for tuning in. And we've got a very exciting project to start off the day. We've got Tuan here, a sophomore from Yale, and he's going to talk us through his really exciting facial recognition application. Tuan, tell me what you've worked on here.
So I have this facial recognition web app. The idea is very simple. You take a selfie and then you send a picture to a service. They will analyze your facial features and then they'll identify which celebrity that you look like the most.
Awesome. Well, should we give it a go?
Yeah, definitely. Let's give it a try.
Show what I need to do here.
So it's very simple. I'm gonna activate my webcam.
Sure.
And then you put your face there.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit closer. So yeah. And then I'll take a selfie. And it will analyze it.
So, according to this app, I look like Aung San Suu Kyi, the Burmese politician. Well, I'm not sure how to feel about it, Tuan. So, tell me about your CS50 experience. I mean, how has the course been this year?
It's been great, actually. So, I'm a sophomore and I'm an applied math major. So I expected the course to be pretty heavy, but it actually turned out to be very enjoyable. I really enjoy all the pieces, and then I developed something really cool for my final project, so couldn't complain about it.
Well, that is awesome. Thank you so much, Tuan.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And now we're going to head right back to the people at the CS50 team. See you later. Hello, everyone, and we are back here at the CS50 Fair, and I'm here with Helen, who's going to talk her through a very exciting amino acid protein sequence. I mean, it's confusing for me. I don't know what it is, but Helen's going to fill us in. Helen, please, tell me a bit about what you're working on.
Yeah, awesome. So basically, if you're a researcher and you have a whole lot of protein sequences that you want to search for, like within a genus of an organism, and you know like a very short sequence that you want to find within a bunch of them, you may know what those amino acids are at certain places, but not necessarily other ones. And that can be a little tricky to find within like a lot of data, right? So basically, for the first step of the search, you can enter like a very short motif or a very short idea of what you want it to look like, and then your file name. I'm not going to run the actual search because it takes a little bit of a long time. But afterwards, you'll be given a bunch of protein IDs that this pattern occurs in, the start positions, and also any wildcard positions that it might be in. They don't have to be necessarily in positions 2, 4, or 5, but they can be any place where you put X's in your initial search.
So would you say that CS50 has allowed you to sort of combine your passions for science with computer science? Like how has CS50 sort of helped you do that?
Yeah, definitely. I think if I hadn't taken CS50, then I might not necessarily have known how to do this in a very user-friendly way. I'm sure that, there are tons of ways to do this. I mean, very slowly by hand or with other tools on the internet, but they're not necessarily tailored to like what we need as scientists or what other labs might be looking for in a user-friendly interface.
Well, that is fantastic. So we're seeing here someone taking their scientific background, applying it using computer science principles, and really creating a tool that'll be really, really useful. Thanks so much, Helen. I'm going to throw you right back now to the rest of the interview team. Thanks.
Hey guys, we're back. We just saw the YouTube video describing Banterboard's project, and now we've got them here live. An honor to meet you guys. Maybe the next up-and-coming Mark Zuckerbergs, who knows. But we have here Banterboard. So maybe you guys can first, we just saw your YouTube video talking about the project. Maybe you can walk us through live, just like a quick survey of how it works. That'd be great. Yeah, go ahead and grab it.
So Banterboard is basically a social forum where you can post content. You can create boards for different groups, post images, text, have your users upvote or download on it, have people comment on it. And to show you just a little bit, we can...
Yeah, by all means.
We logged in, we can just go to my boards. Here's the CS50 Fair. We can visit it. And you can see content that we have. People are already posting on our laptops over there.
That's really cool.
You can upvote it, as you can see here, downvote it, or you can even comment on it.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So what was the sort of inspiration you had that made you want to go through this project?
So I guess what we wanted to do was create like a pretty simple social network where people can like share whatever they like, with right. removing like some of the complexity associated with like other social networks like Facebook or Twitter.
Right.
And like Banter Board has a very simple premise. You create self-contained communities or boards. They can be anything. They can be for like your teams, they can be for your groups, they can mm-hmm. be private diaries. You can post whatever you want to it. And I think that's like, for us, that was like a very powerful appeal of the concept, that you can do whatever you like with Banter Board.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So when you make these different communities, can you open it to whoever you want and like restrict access, or is it more like open-based where anyone can still join any community?
Right, so it is access restricted. You can create private boards and you can create public boards as well.
Right.
So in the board creation page, so for instance, like if you were to create a new board, you can set like the visibility of your board.
So oh, I see.
Suppose that you made like your board private, you'd be able to add more users. So for instance, I'll be able to add my friend Fatih here.
Right.
And then, yeah, now he's the only one who can like access the board.
And now both of you can. Okay, that's really cool. So what sort of like design process did you go through? Like, did you have any like kind of big obstacles along the way in developing it? Or like what were some notable parts of that development
I guess
process?
One of the biggest like design obstacles Fatih can talk about, it was about scrolling.
Sure.
We were trying to implement this jQuery plugin called Scrolling Revealed.
Okay.
You'll be able to see the posts as they as you scroll down.
Right.
But it was very hard because the ID we were focused was Cloud9, and it was very restricted when it comes to external code.
Right.
So we have to kind of reinvent most of the code.
I see.
Instead of like using the already existing code, we have to write very very complicated software so that we can use very basic stuff. So it took a lot of time for us.
That's interesting. So like, when you kind of ran into that, I guess, like obstacle, were each of you like focusing on a different part of the development, or were you all kind of like working on it one part collaboratively?
It was more focused on time. So if I was working on a project and there's a new feature we need to add up,
right.
and I'm available, then I would work on that. Like everybody contributed equally, and there was no like specialization of labor.
Right. Totally.
Like, always had like an idea of like which other product features we wanted to implement. We knew like our base first milestone would just be being able to post content. After that, being able to comment on it. After that, being able to upvote and downvote on it. Being able to delete content. Being able to add new boards, add members.
Right.
So we had a list of features we wanted to implement and just crossing them off each time until we got to the final product.
Yeah, that's really cool. So did you guys meet through CS50 or did you know each other beforehand?
They live like right below me.
Okay.
Same residential college.
Yeah, that's really cool. So then you guys kind of like just took the course together and decided to work together on this project?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
most of our code in our suites.
Okay.
Basically.
Yeah, that's really cool. What was your favorite part of like making this project?
I guess I have a favorite part. For me, like the bane of my existence for a few like weeks for this project was
right.
like implementing upvoting and downvoting functionality.
I see.
I guess that was for me the most challenging part and also my favorite part.
Right.
There were a few like jQuery plugins already available to implement voting, but
right.
we weren't able to get them working so on Cloud9. So we sort of had to like reinvent the wheel of sorts, and we sort of like recreated like an upvoting functionality from scratch.
That's really interesting.
For our posts, yeah.
Wow.
So for me, that was definitely my favorite part.
Yeah.
And like, if you guys have a favorite part.
I guess like for me, it was just like thinking of the different features that we could have,
right.
and then like seeing it come to life, you know,
yeah.
like being able to implement them into our product. That's what I liked a lot.
Yeah, that sort of rewarding process is definitely a big
if
part.
If I can show, wait. Yeah, one of the features I really liked was this recent and popular toggle bar.
Oh, okay.
If you change the toggle, you'll be able to see the post sorted by the popularity.
I see.
That was one of our aims, and it was very nice to be able to implement it in a very sleek looking way, I can say.
Wow, that's really cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
Nice.
So, did you guys really enjoy CS50, or what was your highlight from the class itself? I guess it could be the project, but maybe anything.
So, I guess my highlight was like getting started with like creating web applications.
Right.
So things like Flask, things like JavaScript on the front end, or like running the server on the back end. For me, that because we'd already been learning like a lot of concepts up to that point,
mm-hmm.
and this was the moment where all those concepts sort of came together, and
right.
we were finally being like able to build like real things which had like real effects and real impact. So for me, right. that was pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Anyone else?
I think for me, with CS50, it's like just, it's so practical.
Right.
Like I'm also in CS201 here at Yale. That's like very theoretical and not as much like, you don't learn as many like scripting languages, but in CS50 you're learning a lot more,
right.
a lot more directly applicable stuff. That's what I really enjoyed.
Well, the thing that I like most about CS50 is probably the implementing this application, because we only had 2 or 3 months of studying, and
right.
in the end, we had this toolbox that enabled us to create this website, and it was very surprising for me, I can say.
Right. All right. Very cool. Well, thank you guys so much for showing us your product. It's awesome. I'm really jealous. I wish I could build something like that in my freshman year. Yeah, we're really impressed. But thank you guys so much. Check out Banterboard to the live audience. It's a really cool website. Until then, this is CS50, and my name is Sean Walker.
Yo, 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 what is up? We are at the CS50 Fair at Yale, and we have got two back. This is Dong, and he's going to talk us through his exciting musician pairing sort of website. He's a graduate school at the School of Music. Dong, tell me a bit about this project.
Yeah, so currently at the School of Music, I'm a pianist, by the way. There's no system in place for musicians to find each other. So if I wanted to work on a cello sonata or something with a cellist, I would have to ask my friends to find a cellist to work with. But hopefully what this database allows you to do is to find a cellist at the School of Music. And you can find them using a filter, like what genre of music they prefer and like what instrument they play, etc., etc. And then this application just sends an automated message to whoever is in the database. So the moment you log on, you'll see the description page with my favorite meme of Bach, turn into Tupac, and then you can update your profile, and then you can find, let's say if I wanted to find a pianist to work with, then I can search, and I can just click on their email, and it will send an automated message to that person. And yeah, that's it.
Well, that is really cool, Dong. Thanks so much for sharing your project with us. Thanks so much. And now we're going to head right back to the rest of the interview team. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Molly Mullen. I'm here with Luke and a web app that works with NBA statistics. Luke, can you tell me a little about what your project does?
Yeah, sure. So my project is an NBA data visualization, specifically focusing on shot charts for NBA players who played during the 2013-14 and 2014-15 seasons. So let me show you how it works. Let me just go ahead and enter a player quickly. So just for the purposes of this video, I've chosen LeBron James. He's a good example. So let's take a look at his shot chart. This chart displays every single shot that LeBron James has taken over those two seasons, categorized by makes and misses, color-coded in green and red, respectively. Using this magnifying glass, we can like zoom in on specific areas.
Wow. Huh.
And toggle around to get a better look at different areas of the court.
Where did you get this data to work with?
Yeah, so one of my extracurricular activities is that I'm a member of the Yale Undergraduate Sports Analytics Club.
Okay.
And we just had the data for a project that we worked on last year. So I had these like two massive CSV files that were eventually uploaded into a SQL database.
Okay. Well, that's a great way to visualize something that used to be just a massive CSV.
Thank you. And over here we have some relevant statistics that have been calculated for LeBron's shots over these 2 years, but I think, you know, these numbers mean little without the visualization in front of it, and so having them side by side is a really nice way to sort
Definitely.
Of get the full information. Then the idea of shot charts, I guess, has been done sort of before, and that's I'd seen that idea done before, and so that was sort of the inspiration for this project. Then I decided to take it one step further by visualizing the two other main important statistics, assists and rebounds. So what I've dubbed the assist chart is a graphic that displays the location of all the shots on which your chosen player has the assist.
Okay. Neat.
So you can see a lot of LeBron's assists, the shot ends up being taken really close to the hoop or sort of a three-point shot.
Yeah, that's interesting. And is that a similar pattern for many players or is that distinctive to him?
No, that ended up being a similar pattern for many players, which was a neat find, I guess, of this project. You know, and I wasn't really setting out to find that, but it ended up being the case. You know, only 14.7% of the assisted shots are taken either outside of this rectangle and inside of the three-point line, which is not a huge percentage. Finally, we can look at rebound chart, which shows the location of all the shots that were missed that the chosen player got the rebound. Unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be as nice of a pattern on this one.
I mean, but there's variation in this kind of thing, right?
Anyway, it's nice to sort of get the full complement of pictures.
Yeah.
And, I guess we can choose any player, and that's
how
it works.
What would you say was the biggest challenge as you were working on this project? The hardest part to get to work or something?
Well, like I was saying, you know, I started out with these two massive CSV files that were each about 600,000 rows.
Wow.
So, you know, just working with data that big is a bit tough, and you know, doing simple things like looping through the data can take a while. So figuring out how to navigate the sheer size of this data that I was working with was a bit tough, but once I got over that hump, you know, and started getting visually pleasing results, it was smooth sailing from there.
Awesome. And Luke, what have you thought of the course overall this semester?
Yeah, I think taking CS50 has been like one of the best decisions I made in my time at Yale. I came in with hardly any computer science experience, and you know, it's just a matter of weeks later, I'm doing a project that I've always, you know, sort of wanted to do, but never really had the skills to do. So I think that CS50 has sort of given me like the toolkit to explore what's out there and do what I want, I guess.
All right. Well, I'm impressed to see this. It looks like you found some awesome ways of visualizing like a really huge and otherwise hard to understand data set. And it's been great talking with you.
Thank you. You too.
This is CS50. We'll see you again soon.
Welcome back to the CS50 Fair. We're here live at Yale, and I've got Mike and Justin with me, and they're going to talk with us through their really cool web app. Justin, how about you start?
Yeah, for sure. So our web app is for Yale users to submit parties and reviews so they can see like kind of what's going on campus, so they don't have to walk all the way to TD if the party's if it's bad. So we have the homepage right here. So let's go ahead and register. So let's see, we'll go john@harvard.edu. Password 123, password 123. Let's register. Oh, only winners are allowed on our site, unfortunately. Here's a little reminder of what happened this year. So let's go. Let's have John from Yale register. Oh, there we go.
I've been there. It's
awful. Good to you. Password 123. Password 123. And register. And here, Mike will walk you through this part of it.
All right, so basically once we're in, we can, this is the homepage, and we have like a bunch of quotes here and shows that you're registered. And so you can post a party, right? So we go to post a party, and let's type in CS50 Fair, right? So we type in CS50 Fair, and we submit. And then let's say we want to submit a party review, right? Or anyone else can submit a party review, so they go to submit a party review. And these are all the other parties that other viewers have listed. And so we go down to CS50 Fair, which is the latest one that we just posted. We can rate the quality of music, give it 4 stars. Alcohol level, 1 star, because no one's drinking here. Not that kind of party. Then we can go to crowd level, rated at 5 stars. Overall rating, let's give it 4 stars, right? Even though it's really 5 stars. So we go to submit. And then once we go to party reviews, we can see like all the party reviews that have been made. And we can see like the first review for CS50 Fair at this time and the last review at this time. And we thought this was more interesting than like averaging out the reviews, because we thought, well, what if the party is like really like lit at the beginning, but then later on it's like it's not so, it's kind of draggy. So at the, by using this type of interface, reviewers and users of the app can see like the latest reviews of the party, and we thought that was really interesting.
That's really cool. Well, it looks like here at Yale, they like to party and they party hard. Is this the littest university in the world? According to Mike and Justin, it is. We're heading right back now to the studio and we'll be back here very soon. Thank you, Mike. Thanks, Justin. Well, welcome back everyone to the CS50 Fair here at Yale University. And I'm with Monique, who's got a really cool drawing. Well, it's not a drawing app, sorry. It's a sort of an escape the room, like, but online. I mean, I love these experiences when you go to like one of these haunted house sort of like mystery, like immersive worlds. But here, Monique has taken that concept and brought it online. Monique, please maybe fill us in on a bit about your project and about the design that's gone into it and what the inspiration was.
Sure. So I've always loved those escape the room type places. So I decided to make my own game where I drew all the visuals and I have like my own story where you can try to search for items to try to escape. So. Do you want to try playing?
Yeah, oh, Troy, do you want to hold the mic for a second? So what should I do? Talk me through it.
Okay, so try finding objects around the room that you think you could use to escape.
All right, I'm just clicking maybe the clock, the door, the lock, the back. I'm rubbish at this game. The lamp. Ah! Can you give me a clue here? Can you give me a hand?
Sure. What do you think's like a tool in the room?
Oh, scissors.
Okay.
Boom! All right,
so
what else?
What's something handy that you could
use? Handy?
Yeah.
Handbag? No, a handbag, a lamp. Oh no, what happened?
You moved the frame.
Oh, the frame, ooh,
so
cracks, flowers. Wow, Monique, I just noticed, this is such a beautiful design. Did you draw all of this by hand? Did you draw this yourself?
Yes, I did.
Wow. How did you get it online?
So first I drew it on paper and then I scanned it onto the computer. And then using CSS, I was able to manipulate it and like position it into the right spots.
That is awesome. And what was the inspiration for this application? Like where did you come from? Where did this whole sort of idea come from?
I mean, I just love games and I knew like that was the type of project I wanted to do. And I wanted it to be like my own little cartoonish style.
Yeah. Well, it is a gorgeous design. Thanks so much for taking us through this project. And now we're going to head back to some more amazing projects here at Yale University. Thank you.
Hey guys, we're back with another project here. So I'm here with a group of guys who've done a very cool thing with air pollution and monitoring air pollution levels in the United States. And go ahead and maybe introduce yourselves, maybe give some background perhaps on your project and what exactly it does.
So I'm Tony, this is Barkley and Pranav. So what our project does is essentially we take a lot of data points in the U.S. that has air pollution contents, and we weigh them, and the result is according to color. So you see the lighter blue is areas with lighter pollution, and darker colors, like red, for instance, indicate
so like
dark.
In this
yes,
area.
Yes.
Okay,
so this is not like a super comprehensive data collection, so we only have certain points, but this gives a rough idea of how it should work. And I'll Barkley talk about the function.
Yeah. So there are several functions in this. So you can toggle heat map. So right now all the labels are clear, but when you load them back on, and you can add labels to it to mark off the places that you want to look into.
Right.
And also you can search for cities. Like for example, search for New York here, and it will give you all the monitoring data points for New York right now.
Oh, that's really cool.
And you can also change the data, and Pranav is going to introduce some of that.
Awesome. Yeah.
So you can also kind of change the, so if I were to zoom back, back to this, I can, let's say I don't like this particular color scheme, I can change the gradient, make it something like
oh,
this.
Oh, I see.
which looks in line more with a normal heat map.
Right.
And I can even change the opacity if I want to see more of the map. Like this.
Oh, that's really interesting.
And also clearing labels just clears off the labels, of course.
Right.
And yeah.
That's really cool.
I think that's it.
So what kind of inspired you guys to make this project like this? I mean, like, obviously it's really cool, but like, are you interested in sort of ecology and like environmental studies sort of thing, or?
So yeah, so I'm actually a potential environmental studies major.
Oh, very cool.
And we're also, we got this inspiration from a professor here that are doing, so she collects air pollution all over the world, and she wants us to make a project that kind of visualizes their pollution on a level that people can actually see it visually. So this will not only be a tool for scientists to visualize their data, but also will be citizens to actually view the air pollution on the
right.
scale that they can visualize it. So to understand the impact of current air pollutions, and also potentially they can know what their surroundings are like to prevent like a serious air pollution or their that causes like respiratory problems.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were thinking through like how to implement this, what kind of different like APIs or frameworks were you using with this project?
Yeah. So initially we were trying to get data from third party APIs, and
okay.
there was like a government sort of database we tried to pull data from.
I see.
However, due to some kind of security issues with Chrome, Chrome prevents you from actually using certain APIs unless Chrome like knows that it's secure.
Okay, that makes sense.
So what we ended up doing is we ended up loading the data from like another site into a CSV, comma separated values file, and then
right.
we imported it onto the Google API itself.
I
so
see.
That it will accept like the longitude, the latitude, and also the corresponding weight.
I see.
Yeah. So that sort of was our workaround the extension
that involved process.
Permission issue. Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's really interesting.
You wanna?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So in terms of mapping, we kind of thought of many different tools. We tried to use this thing called leaflet.js. And I mean, ultimately, we came back to Google Maps, but that is because a lot of the other tools we used had many problems. And again, like those content security issues that Chrome had were I don't know, pretty weird compared to.
So also Google APIs, it has very comprehensive like functionalities you can use. Like for instance, the search bar is more difficult to implement with other sources like
right.
Cardo or like Leaflet, but with Google, like
sure.
they have a sort of pre-made system that you can incorporate.
It kind of makes it easier to,
yes.
to like get things up from the start. Yeah, totally.
And also, I mean, we can't see it here, but the heat map we implemented and a lot of the other things that are here and here.
Yeah.
We kind of used a lot of SVG manipulation. So manipulating SVG files to add gradients to them.
Mm-hmm.
And those APIs fortunately worked without any problem.
Right. Yeah, that's really cool. So I guess maybe besides the whole content security thing, what was like the biggest obstacle you guys came across in development? Or was that maybe the biggest one? I don't know.
Yeah, so I think that was the biggest issue.
Uh-huh.
So I was also developing like an extension that allows you to see this application in a smaller window on the right when you collect an extension. That also involved a lot of permissions issues and Chrome not allowing you to sync different APIs when it doesn't know like necessarily where it's coming from.
Right.
So that sort of shifted our project. Like we were planning on using a different database system entirely,
mm-hmm.
but we had to sort of change this due to
right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So did you guys meet during CS50, or did you all know each other beforehand and then kind of decide to group together because of that?
We pretty much, I mean, I met Barclay during Bulldog days.
I see, cool.
And Pranav, like, at the start of semester, so he was my Froco.
Oh, okay.
In the same dorm.
That's really cool.
Yeah, but we kind of, the whole project comes out from the, say, like, the CS50 class, and also, like, because of CS50 bombs, we're actually moving to one of the Yale's new residential colleges.
Oh, really cool.
In a suite.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what was your guys' favorite part of CS50 as a course overall?
For me, it's more like, like we can get explored to all these interesting concepts that it's like a overview of the whole different tools that we can use. So we start from C and then we go to Python and JavaScript. So that gives us a broad scope of like how we can do with all these computer science tools. And it's like that's the aspect that is really fascinating to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So for me, I think the best thing was the fact that you really learn to go from zero to, I mean, a decent amount of competency which I think is really good. I mean, on my own, I wouldn't have been able to learn so much so effectively and so fast. And I think that's really cool. And also the fact that I think CS50 is a brilliant community, and I've made very close friends just because of this class.
Right, for sure.
Yeah. Again, the idea of like you're exposed to such a broad range of things, and you're like forced to like learn so many things is really, you know, helpful.
Right.
Afterwards, you know, maybe during you're like, oh man, there's just everything, so many things going on. But afterwards, you're always like glad you.
You're like, yeah. Thankful for the hard work you put in.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Now this is really, really cool project. Thank you guys so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
Do you have like any closing thoughts? What do you think like maybe you'll build upon this sort of idea in the future or?
Yeah. So we're just going to try to work around that API issue potentially, and then we'll be able to sort of connect to live databases, so which sync with real-time updates. So right now, this is sort of like a database that's, I don't know, updated at a fixed time interval. Like, it doesn't actually sync with real stream data.
Right, right.
That's something that would be great to implement, so you can actually see the live air pollution. Yeah,
yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah. I think one problem which we will have were we to use APIs is the fact that most of them have data limitations. So you can't have really large amounts of data. Mm-hmm. And that's in fact something that really limited us in having real-time visualizations, which we knew were technically possible and we had code for.
Right.
But it was really sad that we couldn't use any API because it has a 1,000 call limit.
I see.
That's really sad.
Right. Very cool. Well, yeah, thank you guys so much for sharing this with us. It's an awesome project, and I'm so glad you guys enjoyed the course. Okay, I'm Sean, and this is CS50.
Do you play poker? Oh, because Bryce Bork does. And Bryce is going to talk us through his really cool Poker Pro Challenge website. Bryce, take it away.
Thanks. So for my CS50 final project, I basically created a program that calculates the probability of a certain poker hand relating to a poker outcome. So if you select a hand up to 5 cards, say ace, 2, 3 of hearts, you can see that you have a 0.085% chance of that hand yielding a straight flush. And the idea is that this will better educate poker players and poker novices alike as to the actual probability of their dealt hand yielding a certain outcome, to take as much as you can the luck out of the game of poker. So this is a page where you can kind of tool around with it, build a hand, see the probability, basically like educate yourself on what that hand is actually going to correlate to. And then I built also a play page where you're given 2 cards and you have to guess the odds of that correlating to a certain outcome. So in this case, the 4-7 offsuit given 5 card hand is not going to correlate to a royal flush, so the answer is 0%. But yeah, that's basically a poker pro in a nutshell.
Well, that is really cool, Bryce. And Bryce, so do you play poker?
Yeah, I play a decent amount of poker. Yeah.
And how, just taking it back another step, I mean, how have you found CS50 this year?
CS50 has been a great class. I came into Yale with a little bit of coding expertise, but never coded in a classroom and never was actually taught the like coding fundamentals. But Dave Milan was a great professor, and I really liked the format of the class. Very engaging. Was able to watch the lectures on my own time. And definitely learned a lot. It was a really great experience.
Awesome. And Bryce, what would you say has been the most difficult part of CS50 for you?
The most difficult part of CS50? I had never coded in C, but I picked up C like relatively quickly. But the idea of pointers was really something very new. Like I had done everything in Python, a little bit of PHP, but I had never been at like the like lowest level of like memory allocation and actually having to like think about what is the idea of memory and like the stack, the heap, all that. So that was probably the hardest part for me.
So Bryce, one more thing. What would you say to someone that was maybe on the fence about taking CS50? What would you say to them?
You should absolutely take it. I mean, computer science is, it's really, I think, one of the like most important classes that you can take in college. Everything is going to have some aspect of code in it. If you want to make yourself competitive, like post-college job applications and just like, I use code to automate like almost everything that I do at this point. And it's a huge lifestyle boost. Like you should really take it. There's no reason not to.
That's fantastic. So from me and Bryce, this is CS50. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Welcome back, CS50. I'm Molly, and I'm here with Claire to talk about a project visualizing supplies in Yale's CEID. Claire, can you tell me a little about what your project does?
No, definitely. So as a user of the seed, I walk in there and I realize that I have absolutely no idea where all the supplies are because they have so many things in there. So I came up with this website so that people who create a username and login can access supplies from a database of 463 different supplies.
Wow.
Yeah, no, right. And then they can come and see the layout of the seed and also either enter into a general search or a specific search if they know which like section that they want to search in. For example, like arts and crafts or the circuits or like the sewing station, etc. Okay. So for example, if I type in a search for glue, it'll redirect me to a page that shows me a picture of what I should be looking for, which section I should be looking for.
So it's the area and all the different types of glue?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then it returns a table of results for everything that I found in the database.
Awesome. What inspired you to start this project? You must be a seed member, right?
Yeah, I'm a seed member because I'm taking the class ENAS 118.
Okay.
So as part of that, we had to get certified. And then we have this group project component of the class. When I started working on that, I realized that, like, gosh, I have, like, no idea where everything is.
Yeah.
This is really overwhelming. So that's why I made this as, like, a search helper for anybody who's, you know, becoming newly
Definitely.
Acquainted to the seed.
Do you have any plans to try to get it, like, integrated with the seed? Like, could other seed users... You know,
oh, definitely,
yeah.
So I talked to the seed staff, and they mentioned that they wanted this information to be only accessible to members of the seed. So since they have everybody's CAS identification system information, then I can actually use CAS, which is an API, and link it up to this website.
Wow.
I just didn't have time to implement that.
Okay, so next step,
Yeah.
What do you think was the biggest challenge as you were working through this project?
I would definitely say that I had a really hard time trying to figure out how I was going to load all of the information into my PHP Lite Admin database. Because the way the staff member sent it to me, it was in an Excel spreadsheet. And then so I spent a really long time trying to figure out if I could get Excel converted into Python and then have like Python execute a code that sends it into the database and like actually, you know, inserts rows into the database. But then that didn't end up really working out, so I went directly from the Excel spreadsheet into the SQL search command or insert commands within the actual database. So all you really have to do for that is concatenate all of the different rows for the information inside the Excel spreadsheet so that it fits the data format that SQL accepts.
I mean, like, that's a great way to work around the Python problem.
I'm honestly, it cuts out a middle step, which probably
maybe
worked better for it.
Anyway. What else? What, do you have a favorite part of working on this? An interesting thing you learned, or?
I think I learned a lot about the CSS, like, styling aspect of it. Because before, I think my, like, the weakest link in my knowledge was probably HTML and how to work all the style aspects and whatnot. So it's actually really cool to, like, play around with all the different ways you can display images, like pop-up images, that kind of stuff.
I love this page. That's just, like, such a cool welcome to, like, look at all the stuff you can do
and
work
with. It's
just
the layout of the
seed.
Okay.
It's been great to talk to you. I think this is awesome, and I look forward to being able to find my seed supplies more easily. All right. Thank you, CS50. Enjoy the rest of the fair.
Hello, and we're live at the CS50 fair here at Yale. And I've got with me a very famous guest. Who are you?
I am Davy Proctor.
And what did you appear in, Davy Proctor?
I was in the eighth episode of CS50 outros with the Citizen Kane theme. I was the guy with the crazy hat on and the I was eating the little white Kit Kat as a you know, bit of a symbol there for what was going on.
So I can see, Davy, that you like candy floss.
Yeah.
What else are you doing here at the CS50 fair?
So I'm just trying to support a lot of my friends, a lot of my colleagues who have put in a lot of effort here this semester in order to produce these amazing projects. I took CS50 last year, and it was such a transformative experience for me. I followed up with the staff over the summer, and I actually worked on the CS50 AP team trying to roll out the course for high schools. And actually, a fair number of our CS50 AP teachers are here at the fair, you know, having their students actually get inspired by a lot of these projects. It's just such a great sight to see. And I actually taught CSCI E50A this semester, which is using a lot of the same AP materials in order for anyone to be able to take it, actually. So I was a TA for that. Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you think is one of the most sort of rewarding aspects of working for CS50?
Oh, I just think that it's the, you know, that look on actually other students' faces when a student can show them the project that they've made and just, you know, have their face light up due to the, you know, the crazy material. And, you know, frankly, some of the stuff I've seen here, I've taken, you know, 2 years, you know, three semesters of computer science at this point. Some of the stuff I'm, you know, I was thinking, like, how would I even do that, you know? Like, it's crazy stuff that they've come up with here at the CS50 Fair.
Well, Davey, I'm going to take some of your candy floss. And we're going to go, now we're going to go live back to the rest of the CS50 team. See you soon.
Hi, I'm Claire, and I'm here with Sam and Taylor at Yale's CS50 Fair. Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you doing?
We're doing great.
What college are you guys in?
We're both freshmen in Berklee College.
Oh, fun. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what you guys did for your final project?
Okay, so our app is called Notorious. It's an online note-taking tool. You can log in and create an account, and if you go to the homepage, you can see the different features that we have. So here you can take notes with an online text editor called TinyMCE that we imported. You can import templates. We have example templates as chemistry, an outline, and an English essay, all in Lorem Ipsum. So we created a couple of demo documents, and it allows you to automatically create flashcards based off of a Wikipedia API that loads, scans your document, finds the keywords, and creates flashcards. So we created a chemistry one and a history one as a demo.
So you don't even need to have the definitions in your notes?
No, it automatically goes through a dictionary of key terms that we thought were important for a specific subject. And then it will query Wikipedia for it.
That's really cool. So how do you sort of interact with these flashcards once you have them?
Currently, it's you're just taken to this page, and you can see the definition, and you can add flashcards right now. In the future, we'd like to have a separate link for you to study the flashcards in a more
Quizlet-like way.
Yeah, Quizlet.
That's really cool. What made you guys come up with this idea?
Well, we're all kind of interested in STEM, but in different subjects, so we wanted to find something that would be useful for any student. And we thought, oh, summarizing my notes when I have a long document, I don't really want to read the entire document to know what's in it. And so just the basic needs of a student is what really made us use this.
That's awesome. So your guys' app looks very different from most of the other web apps I've seen students do. How did you come up with the design, or what sort of influenced your choices on that?
Okay, so the design we adapted from an HTML format called Phantom, and so if you're interested in using this template, you can Google HTML5 Phantom, and you can see that the CSS is really accessible to change and update to your needs. It's great.
That's awesome. So, I guess what kind of stuff did you guys have to learn on the fly for this project? Because I know CS50 taught you guys Python and how to use SQL, but I imagine you had to do a lot of new things for this.
We got a lot of experience in importing APIs in different applications and installing them. That was very difficult. Like, I know that Taylor and Joey, who couldn't be here today, had to struggle a lot through the Wikipedia API and importing that into the IDE.
Yeah, I'd mainly say, like, just learning extra functions for the language, even though we know a bit of the language right now. There's just researching exactly what everything means and trying to understand what everything means definitely like a learning process.
For sure.
Do you guys think CS50 helped you learn how to be good Googlers? Or good be good Googlers.
Well, like to find things online.
Yeah, I'd say so, I guess.
Cool. What did you guys think of the course overall?
I thought it was definitely interesting. It kind of gives you an idea if you're possibly interested in computer science. It gives you a good idea of what a lot of the languages are like.
I thought the course was exactly how it's described to be, challenging but doable. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that I took the course, but it was definitely a whirlwind going through it. But it was obviously an amazing experience.
Very cool. Do you guys think you're going to continue learning about computer science things? Or?
Yeah, I think so, because I'm like possibly interested in majoring in it.
Oh, awesome.
So definitely next semester I'll take more courses.
I originally took the course to find out if I wanted to be a CS major, mm-hmm. and even though it was really enjoyable, I feel like I learned so much in this one course that I didn't expect to learn that it might be a while until I take another CS class.
That makes sense. Well, thank you so much for talking with me. It was great learning about your project, and I'm Claire, and this is CS50.
Welcome back to the CS50 Fair here live at Yale, and I'm with a very excited student here. His name is David. He's a sophomore here at Yale. David, please, maybe talk to us about some of the projects you're working on here at the Fair.
I've been working on my CS50 project for 20 years now, and it's a command line-based program with which you can sign up for really special computers that are in Harvard's computer lab. Literally the project I did 20 years ago.
That is amazing. And tell us what the atmosphere has been like here so far at the Fair.
It's amazing this year. So it's super packed. We have a whole bunch of our CS50 AP high schools from the local area and even from a few states away. We've got over 100 CS50 students and their own final projects here. We've got students, faculty, staff from across Yale, as well as CS50's own team, as well as some of our team from Cambridge. Like, you can't beat the energy we have here in New Haven today.
And I mean, just going around and seeing some of these students' projects, they really are amazing. I think this year the course has really stepped up. What would you say to that?
Oh, indeed. This is we love them all equally, but our best year ever.
Well, fantastic. Well, so from David and I, we're going to throw you back right now to the studio, and we'll see you very shortly.
Hi, everyone. We're back with the CS50. We're doing some interviews of the cool student projects that we're seeing around here. My name is Felipe. I am a sophomore in Ezra Stiles College here at Yale, and I was a CA for CS50 this semester. I'm here with Nadia and Yichen, and I found this amazing project while I was walking, seeing all the other ones that is, I think, super modern and related to what we've been talking about in the media lately regarding fake news and whether there's a bias in social networks and the kinds of things that we get to see when you read news online that you get from social media. Cool. So can you talk to us, introduce us to your project, and say what it is about?
Okay. So basically, the problem we see on social media is kind of how we all get to read articles that are determined by an algorithm that says that we want to read an article based on what we've read before. So we only look at articles that kind of they want us to see. So, but the problem with that is that it creates a bubble of sorts, an echo chamber of sorts. So you want to have a system where you can look at an article, if you search for the topic, and it will return you articles based on that topic that's categorized according to positive, negative, and neutral sentiment, which essentially means you can look at all sides of an issue. So how we do this is that if we demo right here, according to the laptop, you can look at, if we search for Obama. So Obama says that, so our website says that there's a few articles, positive, negative, and neutral, uh-huh. and we give you a donut chart saying the distribution of those articles, and thereafter we give you kind of a view of how those articles are. So let's say we look at one negative article saying, says this one, sore loser Obama turns to Russian hacking to delegitimize Trump's triumph, and we look at the score, it says negative 0.45, and we also give you the link towards that source article as well as a brief description of the article. And if you are logged in as well, you can save the article to your database and you can look at the article for future reference. Yeah.
This is super cool. Yeah. This is super cool. Like, my eyes were like shining when I saw this for the first time, because one of the most exciting things that I think CS50 allows students to do is, because we have PSATs with so many different, so much different material, we are able to use computer science in very different ways that, like, maybe like would be many different jobs in the industry if you would be working with these things. And I see that this is sort of somewhat related to PSAT 6, I think, that was analyzing sentiment. Can you talk a little bit about that and where the idea came from? Was it inspired at all by what you did in PSAT 6?
Yeah, so PSAT 6 was, we had to analyze the sentiment of a tweet, and how they did it was that they had a database of positive and negative words. So we wanted to look for more ways of analyzing sentiments of an article. So we looked for what people have been doing so far. So some people have been doing similar to that word level sentiment analysis, but there's also like phrase level sentiment analysis or like machine learning, which we feel is probably the most accurate, but it's beyond our capabilities at the moment. So we're using this API, which looks for negative and positive words in an article, and what the sentiment is towards, whether, so for example, if it's like negative towards Obama or like Donald Trump, for example. So we use that API and we like kind of refine our query by, let's say if the user inputs Donald Trump, it'll look for the sentiment towards Donald Trump, Donald and Trump. So we kind of expand the query to make our final sentiment score, which is an average, more accurate.
It's super interesting, and now like I'm remembering that in my last office hours that I was sitting next to you, you were telling me about this thing that you were trying to build.
Right.
And I like it sounded super fancy, and in fact, like right now I see it is, but I couldn't picture that it was going to be this fancy. What did you guys get the idea from?
So, the idea of like sentiment analysis for articles.
Of putting these things together. Okay. I feel like this is one way that, you know, even though it's not a plugin for Facebook, because that would be really hard to develop legally, I think, this is one way that we can solve, the idea of the website is the bubble that we have, right? The ideological bubble that
so
we
I
live in.
So I guess one prompt would be, like, after the election day, a lot of people were surprised at the result. And that surprise is kind of interesting in itself, because it does mean that people are living within the bubble. And thereafter, we look at kind of the analysis of what the surprise came from, and we actually pinpointed down to social media, which is essentially saying that your friend group, your social network, is comprised of people that are similar in views to you. And for the election case, it's similar in political views. So that means that you only look at articles or comments on things from their point of view, which is similar to yours. So you don't really get out of your bubble and look at articles from like different point of views. So we wanted to try to tackle that issue at heart, and one way we got around it was combining different elements of what we've learned in different PSATs, like PSAT 6, sentiment analysis, PSAT 8, the articles themselves, and PSAT 7 giving us this framework of what an app could be. So, and thereafter, I guess, like you mentioned, one good way around that would be a Facebook plugin.
Yeah.
I guess another way around that would be to kind of morph this into a Google plugin or a Google extension of sorts, and then as you read an article, say on the source itself, it can tell you from an extension whether this is a positive, negative, or neutral article perhaps. Because I guess people aren't going to start using our website just like that, because it's kind of a big critical mass needed for such a thing. So we want to build on current frameworks to kind of use an extension thereafter.
Yeah, super cool. I hadn't thought of that, but like right now that you said it, it makes so much sense that people would like to use this as an extension for, say, Google Chrome, when every time they're in an article or they're on Google and they are about to click an article, they can see how biased that article may be. Yeah, super cool. I'm super proud of your projects. You guys are freshmen, right?
Yeah, freshmen.
What are you guys studying?
So I'm studying economics.
And I'm studying molecular bio.
Has CS50 in any way, I mean, two questions. Are you, do you think you're going to be studying more computer science classes, which you could, even though you're doing different majors? Has CS50 in any way, like, swayed you towards pursuing a computer science major?
I think both of us are considering pursuing computer science as a second major, as a first major. For me, CS50, like, kind of confirmed for me, like, how computer science can be used to tackle very relevant issues, and how it's not, you can use it in so many ways. Like all our PSATs have shown us, like you can use computer science to tackle so many different kinds of problems, and there's a lot of flexibility in it. And I think that's something really powerful about CS.
As a CA, I can say that I'm very proud, and the entire staff is very proud of what you built. And I'm also very proud of what you just said. Like it seems like our mission here is done. Like you understood what it is. You've been properly introduced to computer science. So I'm really happy with your project, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Cool.
Eli Yayo. Bulldogs, Bulldogs, bow, wow, wow.
We are here at Yayo. We're getting the spirit going. We're forcing through this incredible CS50 fair, and I'm with Jason. Jason, the freshman here at Yayo. Jason, introduce yourself. Say hello.
Hi, I'm Jason. I'm from Calhoun College here at Yale University. I'm a freshman.
Yes, and we're here with Jason, and he's going to talk us through his sort of hardware project called Lux No Teeth.
That's right. Cool.
What, in one sentence, what is Lux No Teeth?
It's a way to see all your notifications through LEDs.
Sounds pretty cool. Why don't you talk us through it?
Sure. So let me give you a demonstration first.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you a quick little demonstration. So I'm going to send myself a message through text. So I'm just going to say, hey, send it to myself. It's sending. It's sent. And I'm going to wait for my notification right here. So I just got the notification and a third LED just popped up. So what happens is every time I get a new notification, another LED pops up. And you'll probably notice that there are different colors. And if you haven't guessed already, something like yellow would be like something like Snapchat. Orange is Google's Messenger, Allo. Purple is Facebook Messenger, and so on and so on. Obviously, white is like the text message.
So cool. Could you show us some of what it looks like on it? What did you write this in? Is what I guess what I'm saying.
Sure. So let me log in real quick. So the backend is written in Python. Basically, what happens is a phone, when it gets a notification, it goes to the web server. It says, hey, web server, I've got a new notification. The web server contacts my program on Python. It says, hey, computer, I have a new notification. What my computer then does is it parses the notification so I can get all the information that I need. And then it sends color data to my Arduino. My Arduino, when it receives the color data, sends a notification out to my LED strip, which has gotten some more Snapchats, as you can see, and tells my LED bar to light up some more LEDs.
So what was the inspiration behind the colors and this specific sort of design?
For the colors, I don't know, like Snapchat's yellow. Yeah. I guess I just get inspiration from the icons, I guess.
Sure. I mean, do you see this as sort of maybe a future sort of IoT device potentially that could be? Do you see this as a future Internet of Things device? Are you going to carry on using this? I mean, what's your next steps?
Sure. So I'm a really lazy guy. So like, I don't check my notifications that often. So like, I need one of these things lying around just to like keep me on track, keep me on top of my notifications. So I guess the next step for this is to connect it to a Wi-Fi relay on the Arduino. And I'm just going to hang it around somewhere in my room so I can keep track of my notifications.
And after CS50, are you going to continue computer science? Would you say that CS50 has sort of opened that up for you? Or did you have any prior programming experience?
I don't really have any prior programming experience at all, which is why this was like such a hard thing for me to do. CS50 was actually like probably one of the first times I ever coded anything from scratch. So CS50 really showed me that it's possible to do these things. And even though, you know, I didn't really know how to do these things from the beginning, I knew how to like Google stuff, go to Stack Overflow, you know, watch YouTube tutorials and stuff like that.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for showing this Lux No Teeth. I mean, it's an incredibly awesome project that sort of combines hardware and Python and your phone as well. I mean, I could see this as a future of sort of notifications. I really could. Well, from Jason and I at the CS50 Fair, we're going to throw you right back now to the rest of the studio team. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Claire, and I'm here with Juliana at the Yale CS50 Fair.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Kind of stressed, but happy to be here.
What college are you in, Juliana?
I'm Pearson.
Oh, fun. Why don't you tell me about your app?
So my app is an app that you choose among music categories. I only have four right now, which are indie, pop, rock, and hip hop. And then you choose an emotion you're feeling. And then it's going to give you a list of songs that are related to that emotion in that category.
Cool. Why don't you show me an example?
Sure. Give me a music category.
Let's do pop.
Okay. So which emotions are you feeling? You can just tell me as many as you want.
Oh, okay. Let's go with, let's see what happens if I do like joy and disgust at the same
joy
time.
Joy and disgust. Let's see how many songs we can come up with that. So the longer it takes you low, the more songs it has. So if it takes you too long, you're going to be like, so here you go. This is the list of songs.
Oh, cool. So, all right. So how do you figure out what songs match with what moods?
So for the emotions, I went to a psychologist website that had a bunch, that had a list that said, oh, these words are related to this emotion. Mm-hmm. And then I sorted this into a list that, for each specific emotion. And then through web scraping, I went through each website and through a lyrics website. And in this lyrics website, I got through web scraping all the lyrics from certain categories. And then I ran an analyzer like through those lyrics to see if they had words related to anger. And then I built a database that had, oh, this song has this many anger related words, this song has this many sadness related words. Mm-hmm. And then when the user prompts me, I just select from that database.
That's really cool. So is there a cutoff for like how many anger related words make an angry song?
So I the cutoff was kind of like established by me. I just set a low one because I was kind of afraid if they were going to be so like no songs at all and stuff like that. But I tend to put a place where you can select like your level of anger and your level of sadness and things like that, so we can select more appropriately which songs we're going to showcase.
So how many songs are in your app?
Way too many, actually. I think I have like 10,000 at least for each category.
Oh my god!
But like there are some that have like 20,000. I think pop. That's pop.
Right.
Probably.
That's really cool. So what got you, I guess, interested in this idea or working on this project?
So I was like, I wasn't really thinking about my CS50 project. I was just like feeling really sad on a rainy day, and it just seemed to me like, oh, I really want a song that I can relate to right now. So I was like, oh, maybe I can do that like for my CS50 project. So yeah,
that's really cool. And your website, how did you design this? You have like different fonts and like a funky logo than what I've seen before.
So the funky logo-ish thing here is more like, I was like, oh, I think I need to make a logo so I can feel legit. So I was like, oh, okay, what should I do? So I just put like for the, you know, if you know some music, you can recognize like.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name in English for those, but like the things that are.
How'd you come up with the name?
So the name is Music, which some I think about cows for the moo, but it's because of mood and music, so it's music.
Okay, I get it. I was thinking about cows too at first. Did you like working on this project, or like what did you learn?
So I kind of had to learn a lot of stuff for it, because like CS50 does teach you a lot, but it mostly teaches you that you have to go look for stuff.
Right.
So I had to learn how to web scrape with Beautiful Soup for Python. And also I had to learn how to work with Swift, which was kind of like, what am I doing here?
Do you think CS50 prepared you to sort of go out and find this information on your own?
Yes, because even though like our project problem sets for once, we have the lectures, we learn some things, but in the end, for the problem sets themselves, we always have to look into something.
Right.
We're never like completely, like, we know. So CS50 has been like training us like how you can actually find the stuff you're looking for.
Did you enjoy the course?
Yes, definitely.
Cool.
I came with zero experience and now I'm like, I have an app.
Yeah, this is awesome. Do you think you're going to take more CS
probably
courses? That's so cool. Well, thank you so much for talking with me, Juliana.
Oh, thank you.
This was super fun.
Or give me some time.
Of course. And I'm Claire and this is CS50.
Hello and welcome back to the CS50 Fair here at Yale. I'm with Stelios, the head TA. Stelios, say hi.
Hey, internet.
So, tell us a bit about sort of your role here at Yale and how the fair's gone so far.
Well, I'm amazingly excited right now. I'm sweating, although it's snowing outside. We have so many people. Students look like they're having so much fun. I've looked at projects as many as I could. There's someone here that has something that turns the light off when you fall asleep automatically, which is pretty cool. I went around, I saw my students. I'm amazingly proud of them. Some, like most of them, I think all of them have never programmed before and they've all like done an awesome job. What was the question? What do I do?
Yeah, what do you do here?
Well, I'm the head TA here at Yale. We We actually have three head TAs here at Yale. I'm along with Andy and Summer. We're the head TAs, and we kind of run the course with along with the instructors. Well, today we're tasked with running the fair, so everything from restocking candy to making sure everything's working, making sure everyone's in place, making sure sponsors are happy, and, well, you.
Well, thanks so much, Stelios, for checking in. I know you're very busy.
Yeah,
I'm going to head. I'm going to head right back now to the CS50 team.
Welcome back to an awesome interview where we're going to learn about another project that a student built. I'm here with Sabrina, and she built. I'm here with Sabrina, and she built a website called She Studies STEM. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, sure. So my project is called She Studies STEM, and it's built for women who want to find study groups with other women who are taking their CS class at Yale. So it's kind of like the Tinder for women in CS. maybe cooler, I think. But anyway, so yeah, so the way it works is that you can register. So I'm just going to, should I just, okay. You can make a username, you put a password in. Hold on. Okay.
And you had a phone number, right?
Yeah, and then you had a phone number, which is, sorry, I'm not using my phone, but 510. And you add a phone number because this works using 4484. Yep, text messages.
Cool.
So now I'm going to find a match. So let's say I want to sign up for CS201. Then I can fill out all the times I'm free. So you get up to 5 times. And that way, it's supposed to kind of broaden the chances of you finding a match with someone else who has the same free periods as you.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see. What about Wednesday, 8 a.m.? Okay, cool. So then you find a set.
Fit and not return a response. Why don't we? It happens. Stuff like this happens all the time. Let's see if we try to.
Do you have to? My thing, you have to have a virtual environment set up for Twilio. Could it be that like you didn't download everything?
Oh yeah,
like,
possibly.
All the dependencies on my computer.
Okay, so you've actually demoed this project for me.
Yes,
half an hour ago, yeah. And it was working. Just we had to change the computers because the HDMI wasn't working on yours.
But
I would like to. First of all, what happens when after you finish the form?
Yeah, so I can show you.
Form.
I have old text on my phone, but basically. You will receive a text from my app, and it tells you the time that your study group is going to meet, and then the name of one of the people in your study group, as well as their phone number. And that way, you can text them and set up, you know, your first meeting. And so, yeah, so it works using the Twilio API, which in theory is functional.
Uh-huh.
Once you download all of the like dependencies and stuff. So
sure.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Which always takes a while.
Yeah.
This is super cool. First because you use just SMS and I love SMS, but at the same time, this is a project that has a lot of purpose behind it, and it feels like something that you might have built after you had like some struggle and realized that you could do something about it with technology, which is like what CS for me is about. So can you tell us why you built this, what your inspiration was?
Yeah, of course. So I think the idea of this was pretty organic while I was taking CS50, and I've kind of had some prior coding experience.
Uh-huh.
I really had some trouble finding other women who I could work with on problem sets or just kind of like provide mutual encouragement to. And so I really wanted to like find a way to meet other women who were taking CS50 with me. And I think it's especially challenging because CS50 is such a large course. You kind of can get lost in it. And I really just thought it was important for women to kind of band together, especially in such a male-dominated field.
Uh-huh.
And of course, a lot of this is kind of like an internalized fear. I think a lot of us are really intimidated by computer science, and it's a very like daunting task to go and build your own app. And so I think having kind of a support group of other women who can understand what you're going through and support you is really, really important. So
absolutely. This seems super important, not just for women, but minorities also that I know. I mean, I've been a sophomore here, so I've talked to people. I'm very concerned about people's experience of CS here, and I think it's amazing that you're building something like this that can probably get integrated into, you know, if the CS department wants to take this to another level. Now, if you wanted to take this to another level, what's the next feature that you would like to build to make this better?
I think definitely I'd like to build a web app. And I also want to kind of perfect the the survey format of this, because right now you can only enter 5 available times, but I was thinking about, I don't know if you know the When to Meet website where you can, yeah, so I was, it would be really cool to like integrate the When to Meet like interface onto here so that it's really, really easy to put in all the times you're free. So that would be ideal. And then also maybe just like perfecting the, because the matches I did right now, like the process I use is pretty complicated. So like making that more efficient would be really cool. Yeah.
This is really nice. Are you a CS major?
I'm thinking about it. I'm still undecided.
You should definitely think
but
about
it. I'm definitely going to take more CS classes.
Cool. Really
sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, this is awesome. Congratulations.
Thank
We're
you.
All proud of you
Thank
and
you
proud
so
of
much.
What you built.
Thank you.
Yeah. See you soon for another interview of these.
Hello, and we're back at the CS50 Fair at Yale. Of course we are. We've been here all day. We're near the end, but stick in. We're here with Idris, and he's going to talk us through his exciting... I mean, I'll let you explain it, because I'm struggling to sort of wrap my head around it, but it sounds awesome. Idris, take it away.
Yes. So basically, basically I created consciousness. So I created a machine learning program called Immuno. And it basically is supposed to act as an immune system for your computer.
Okay.
So it figures out what files you should probably delete from your file system. So how it works is that first it collects training data. It goes through your trash directory and your downloads directory. And what it does, it makes an assumption that everything in your downloads directory at that moment, you will want to keep. And everything in your trash directory at that moment, you would probably want to delete. And so, it goes to the trash directory, and it goes to the downloads directory every time collecting certain information about each file. It collects the time last access, the time last modified, and the file type, which I treat as the file extension. Right? Yeah, so like a .pkg file will get a number based on the sum of the ASCII characters. And each time I upload that into a pickle file, which is like a file that just stores a matrix as a separate file. So So I wanted to create a way that I will be able to append training data each time, so I can make my algorithm better. So every day we go through that a couple times, and this would happen at least every couple of hours. So as you go about your day, putting new stuff in the trash, downloading new stuff, it'll update the training data. And after that, it goes to your root directory. Yeah, so every file in your computer, neglecting some important files that you don't want to like mess with, like system files and stuff like that. And it focuses on those files, and it passes it in to a machine learning algorithm that I found on Skylearn. I used a separate IDE called Spider, because it was too good for the CS50 IDE. And so after it goes through all those files, it passes each file's statistics into the predict function of that machine learning module. And then if it's a 1, meaning keep, it prints out, you should probably keep this file. If it's a 0, it'll print, you should probably delete this file.
What was your inspiration for creating an immune system for your computer?
I'm a person who, I'm not a very neat person, but at least with concern to my computer, I enjoy like optimizing everything. I enjoy like cleaning out everything, making sure that I don't have, using up too much space. But the problem I always encounter is that I have to look through every file, see like, do I actually want this, decide myself whether or not it's worth it. This is at least a first step. So it's suggesting files that you might want to delete. So I would only have to focus on those rather than going through every single file on my computer. It doesn't delete files automatically, which would be very bad because it's not as smart as a human. It doesn't have the same subtlety as a human. So it can't distinguish between files that are right in between the very old and very new. So like you would definitely have to still put in manual work, at least with the training data I have now. Theoretically, if I collected enough training data, I could probably trust it to just handle everything.
What was your CS50 experience like? I mean, it sounds like a really sort of complicated, you're talking about machine learning, you're talking about using a separate IDE. I mean, did you have any prior programming experience? And how did you find the CS50 course?
So I came in as a freshman without any programming experience. I actually have a friend at Harvard who told me about the course, and he like highly recommended it, so I decided to try it out. I was completely blown away by C and how like verbose it was. I was like, how do like programmers do anything with this? And then we moved up to Python, and I understood at least how it was more manageable. I did do my project in Python. So I learned a lot in CS50. I'm glad I took the course, because I always loved computers, but I didn't know how to handle them technically on this level. At least now I have the first step into the door. So there's less inertia now to get into the CS field, which I actually might be majoring in. I don't know. Yeah, I came in as a physics major, but I decided this was so cool that I wanted to like continue with CS. You know, time will tell. Yeah.
That's a fantastic story, Idris. Thank you so much for sharing us with your project. And now we're going to head right back to the CS50 team.
Hi, I'm Claire, and I'm here with Grace and Rachel at Yale's CS50 Fair.
Hi.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing good today.
Yeah, we are.
What college are you guys?
I am a senior in Saybrook.
And so am I.
Cool. What made you guys decide to take the class as seniors?
As a senior, I decided to take a class because I know that the job I'll be doing next year is going to involve coding, and I thought it'd be good to maybe get a little experience first.
That's a good idea.
And I decided to take it. I saw this interview with a CS professor at Yale, and he was saying how he thought that Yale should require a CS language just like they require a world language, and that you need that kind of skill to be a fully participating global citizen. And I was like, all right. Here I go.
Very cool. So why don't you tell me about your project?
All right. So our project answers the question, should you go out tonight?
And basically what it does, we'll save you guys some time and just skip to the tonight page. But before you get to this page, normally you'll set up a profile and it will ask you a series of background questions where you rank your priorities.
Okay.
And then based on your answers to those questions, it will weight your answers to these questions.
So got it.
So while she's answering these questions, our profile questions are paired with each of the tonight questions, and that's how the algorithm is created.
Okay.
Based on this 1-to-5 scale, it's multiplied by the tonight questions.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Profile, it's not going to let you do it. It's not going to let you click it unless we fill it out. So let's see what we get.
Okay. Is it Woads? It's not Woads. Ugh. Woo!
No, you go out.
That's super exciting. How did you guys come up with the algorithm to sort of tie the questions together?
So basically, we realized that we wanted to do something that was like more personalized than something that you could just find on a BuzzFeed quiz.
Right.
So that's why first you rank your priorities, and that's going to be saved with your profile. And so you'll never have to go back to that. And then you can come back and click the tonight question again and again and fill this out again and again and get your recommendation.
Let's see. Okay.
So you can, you go through these, and then we wanted to match it up exactly so that we could place weights in the accurate way. And as you can see here, if it is a Wednesday and you are over 21, it is always going to tell you to go to Woads.
Amazing.
Yep. And then we wanted to include a couple things extra. So we included the weather widget, because often I'm going to want to look at the weather before I'm going out. And then we included a drink calculator to maximize safety.
That's so cool. Do you guys think you might use this app in the future? Is it useful to you?
I totally would. We've actually had a lot of friends test this and be like, oh my God, you need to market this. I would totally use this every night.
It's really cool. How did you come up with the design for it? Because you've got some funky backgrounds and some cool pictures. What made you kind of decide to make it look the way it does?
So we had done a piece at this semester called CS50 Finance, and that's right. Kind of where we got the bare bones of it. But we really wanted to make it a fun experience for the user, and so we thought the best way to do that would be backgrounds, and Grace was the background guru, so.
I was really into this background.
I like the moon a lot.
Yeah, we thought it was soothing, and then I also wanted to accurately capture how I feel about Woads. And I felt that this picture really captured how I feel when I go to WODES.
I think it's a good one.
We wanted everyone, basically the whole point of the app was just for it to be a really fun user experience.
Right.
So any part of the design that could add to that.
And did you guys have fun making it, or did you struggle through it, or sort of a mixture of both?
I think this is actually probably my favorite part of the course, because I think we really got to own it, and we had help from the TAs and CAs, but kind of like figuring out the problems ourselves and like going through and being like, how are we going to like store this information and use it to like to come back to it later? And it was really rewarding, and we had a lot of fun making our 2-minute demo video, if you get a chance to see it later.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I totally agree. It was so much fun. And it was fun, too, figuring out, like, applying the problem-solving approach that we had learned in the course to be like, how do we want to set up this algorithm so that it's personalized and still delivers a result that makes sense?
What sort of new technologies did you use in this that you didn't use in sort of CS50 problem sets?
Well, I think having the communication between the two pages, the Tonight page and the Profile page, and the way that the algorithm was set up, we hadn't done that exactly. And then we also got to explore more with HTML, with like our design.
Right. And then I think adding, though we discovered that it wasn't actually that hard to add widgets, but that was something that we hadn't really touched on that much in the course,
That's awesome. So, what did you guys think of the course overall?
I am really glad I took it. I mean, I was definitely demanding, which I think we all knew going into it. But yeah, I think I learned a lot. I'm happy I took it.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I would definitely recommend it. I think it's like one of the courses that I feel like I come out learning like a lot of practical skills that who knows if I'll use, but if I do, I'll have them.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for talking with me.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and I'm Claire, and this is CS50.
Hello, everyone. It's been a long day here at the CS50 Fair at Yale, but we are keeping the duck happy over here. I'm with Summer. She's the head TA at Yale. And Summer, how's the fair going so far?
The fair has been absolutely incredible. There's so much energy, so many people. I was talking to a recruiter who said he brought 500 shirts and 300 rockets, and they were gone in 12 minutes. So that just shows the energy of everybody here.
And what's your role here at CS50, and how did you first come to meet the team?
So my role here for the fair or for CS50?
Yeah.
Right, sure. So I'm one of the three head TAs here at Yale, and today my job is to oversee the entire fair from setup to actually making sure people are mingling to finally running cleanup at the end. My main job is actually running cleanup after all this is over in the next 20 minutes. But during the school year, as head TA, I help run staff meetings. We have weekly heads meetings where we plan the direction of the course. I also teach my own section, so I have 6 students right now, and I'm grading 3 of the final projects for the fair.
Summer, what would you say to someone who's considering taking CS50 and is sort of on the fence?
What I say, CS50 is life-changing, if you're willing to put in the time for it. So if you're willing to commit, you want to learn how to do things you never imagined you could have done, definitely take CS50 and you won't regret it.
Wow, fantastic. Thank you so much, Summer. We're going to take care of this duck. And while that's happening, I'm going to send you right back to the rest of the CS50 team.
Okay, and we're back for another amazing interview of a project that students have done. Can you tell us about your project, why you built it? First of all, introduce yourselves.
My name is Chris Chen.
My name is Shu Chen.
And I'm Jason.
Cool. So I see you did a little demo for me earlier of Purify. What is Purify?
Yes, Purify is essentially a website where you can upload an essay, say like an English essay, and then you get automatically paired with another user in our database, and then you guys can exchange those essays and provide feedback on each of those essays, and then you can later on get feedback on your own essays, your peer gets feedback on their essays, and essentially a system of editing.
Cool. I imagine this is something that you would have loved to use throughout the semester. I mean, you're a freshman, but in your college life, you would love to use a tool like this. Is that where the inspiration comes from for this?
Yes.
Right. A lot of the times, yeah. A lot of the inspiration comes from the fact that it's really, really hard to get like really honest feedback from your peers. Oftentimes, the only person that reads your paper is your professor. And I think Peerify really helps mitigate that because it allows other peers to read your essays, to give you feedback while you give them feedback. So it's definitely a really nice, mutually beneficial service.
Cool. So can we go ahead and can you show us a little bit of what it looks like?
This is our front page. You see, you have a go through it. You can talk about how it works. And at the end, you can log in at the bottom. Log in. Wait, can I log in? Okay, so this is the main page, and you can see that these are all the essays you already uploaded. Some of them we already have feedback from previous demos, but we can go ahead and upload a new essay right now. I'm going to say something like, I love CS50. And then we talk about when you want your feedback by, and also the topic of your essay, and these will both be considered when we later on pair these essays together. And right now, it says that our essays are unpaired because in our database, there's an uneven number of essays. But we go to another user's page, so we flip over to Chris's account. So this is Chris's account. He can upload an essay, and then we will be paired together if it's based on the same topic.
Uh-huh.
Right, so now that our essays have been paired, we can click the link, check it out now, and then I can essentially see the essay that Shu had just posted. So at the bottom of the page, we can edit, and there it is, I love CS50. Not only that, we can also annotate her essay, so we can annotate it with the words true, for example. And then on Shu's end of it, you can then see the words true.
So if we go back to my or Jason's account, then it should be at main and the very last essay. Go to the very last essay. We should see an annotation that says true.
This is really cool.
Feedback system. Yes.
This is amazing.
Thank you.
It looks super polished. Actually, is it possible for us to show the front page again?
Yeah.
Because I loved it. I thought it was so pretty.
Log out.
This is really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice. So, which technology did you use to build this?
Which languages?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, for our templating, we used HTML5 up.
Uh-huh.
But Jason can talk about the other languages we use in our project.
We use Flask for the backend of our site, as well as SQL to store the database and just like all of the essays and the annotations and the counts and stuff. And yeah, we also use a little bit of JavaScript for form validation.
Cool. I mean, I guess one last question is, where do you guys intend on taking this? It seems like this could be a business.
Yeah, a lot of people have given us really good feedback in terms of like they could really use this for like their final essays or final projects. And I feel like we really believe in our project and we can really go and expand this even more and potentially have an actual website holding our service. Yeah.
Is this... Well, you're all freshmen, so this is the first class you're taking, CS class that you're taking at Yale. Are all of you CS majors?
I am a CS major, I think.
I might be a CS major now.
You might be a CS major,
same.
Or maybe
yeah.
not.
Yeah, it's pretty convincing.
Yeah? Well, I really wanted like to touch again on the issue, on which new features you would like to build from how you would like to change this to improve it a little bit more, which would be the next feature that you would like to create?
Yeah, we want something to incentivize users to give good feedback, and something we were thinking about was having a feedback system where after you've edited an essay, the other user can rate how well your annotations were, how well your feedback was, and then essentially each user would have a ratings number associated with their user account. And if they're getting really bad feedback, then maybe they might not get a very match with a very good feedback person that gets very good feedback. So it incentivizes people to give good feedback so they get good ratings.
Cool, awesome. I'm really proud of what you did, or staff is really proud of what you did. This is really what CS50 is here for, to teach you all these different things and allow you to do something that's meaningful for you. So yeah, it was a success. I'm sure CS50 was a success for you.
And thank you.
Yeah, thank you for showing us your project today.
Thank you.
There are just 2 minutes left in this year's CS50 Fair at Yale, and boy, what a day it has been.
It was such an inspiring day for all of us. It's amazing what you all have achieved, so many of you with no prior background of CS. It was really amazing.
Indeed, it's been such fun to bring everyone together here one last time at the CS50 Fair, and undoubtedly we'll see so many of these students return next year as TAs and CAs here in CS50's own staff at Yale.
And David, this was
CS50.